My name is Mark Dixon, and I'm principal of George Whitfield College here in Cape Town.
Hi everybody, David Capes with the Stone Chapel. Glad you're with us today. I happen to be in Cape Town, South Africa, teaching a course, an intensive course for 2 weeks at George Whitfield College, and it's my joy and pleasure to have met the principal of the college and to invite him to be a part of this conversation. Mark, good to see you. Thanks for being with us.
Good to be here. Thank you for the invite.
Yeah, well, let's start off by telling folks who you are. Who is Mark Dixon? Now, I bet your wife knows, you know, and your family knows, right? But
yeah, we've been married for quite a long time now. I got married in 1981, and so I've been around for quite a while. I was a student at university in those days, studying engineering. And I've always enjoyed science, things to do with science and things to do with physics and engineering and all that. My wife's actually very much into dramatic arts. It was in that context that we met.
So you have a scientist and an artsy person all together.
It's interesting to see that combo coming out in the kids. Some orientate to one side and others prefer the other. Yeah, so we were actually in a music outfit together. And she sang, I played, and that grew into a ministry, so we'd go all around the place and play. I would actually write songs and teach them to her the night before, and then she'd sing them.
And the night before?
Yeah.
Okay. She had so to get she good slept at it. On it. Okay.
And we wrote a lot of songs, and we're part of a ministry in a church in Kenilworth called St. James Church, which gained worldwide attention when bombs were thrown there in 1993. But the ministry was the ministry of Frank Retief, who was an evangelist extraordinaire. And what happened in those days was that if you took someone along, if you could just get them to come to church with you, they would be converted. That was how it was. All my university friends.
That's how easy it was.
It felt like that. And it was part of the reason for me going to ministry eventually.
So, this is easy. I can do this.
And so we would write songs for his sermon. So he'd tell us what the sermon would be, and then we'd write a song and my wife would sing. And that grew and grew. And then eventually it was what I wanted to do as well. I wanted to open the Word and preach, and I wanted to see people saved. I wanted to see people taught. Frank was a brilliant evangelist, but he was also a brilliant teacher. And I learned so much from him.
Sometimes those don't always go hand in hand.
Unfortunately,
some evangelists are not great teachers and don't really have a passion for it.
Yeah, I think that is the case. But he was exceptional. And I've had people over the years come and visit South Africa and visit the college, and they said to me, tell me, what was it like? What was it like to be there? Because they've heard or read those days. And so we had this electric atmosphere on a Sunday night, mostly an evangelistic service. Church absolutely chock-a-block, 800 people. Half or more would be unbelievers. And they would hear this powerful expression of the gospel, and then afterwards they'd go into the counseling room. The counseling room, 20 or 30 people every Sunday night. That was routine. But on Sunday mornings was teaching, and Frank taught very, very well. So he laid an incredible foundation in my life and in my heart.
Did you sense at that point that you wanted to be involved in theological education?
Increasingly.
Yeah.
Well, theological education for myself. So
for yourself
I went
first.
Off to Bible College and I was there for a while, and then thought I want to do ministry. That's really what I want to do. And my wife and I, we prayed about it. Julie is her name. Julie and I prayed about it a lot. And then Frank said, look, there's a church that's been just planted. And it was like a baby work. I was about 4 months old, and we were meeting in a school library. Would you consider going? So I pretty much took over a church plant and was involved in church planting, enjoyed the experience, stayed there 20 years and pastored the church for all that time.
Wow.
And it grew and grew and grew and grew. And the principal of the college started in 1989.
Now you're talking about George Whitfield College.
George Whitfield College,
right.
Yeah. And David Seckham became principal here, and he kept phoning me and knocking on my door and saying, you must come and be at the college. And that finally happened in the year 2000. Decided, okay, I'll come here. So I joined him here at the work, and didn't think that it was going to be, that in any way I would succeed him. That didn't occur to me at all. I thought I could see other people who were much better equipped, much better suited for the job than me.
But when did you become principal?
So in 2013, yeah, so it's getting on to 10 years.
Almost 10 years.
Time goes by so quickly.
It does.
And David Seckham did an incredible work. He was here for about 20 years. And this college went from very baby appendage, pretty much, to another college called the Bible Institute in South Africa, where most of us trained. I trained there originally.
And that's not far from here, is
no,
it?
No, it's just down the road.
Down the road from here.
Yeah, Cork Bay. And so this college grew out of that baby work into what it is today. Well, in 2012, it had really acquired a considerable campus. The amazing thing about David Seckham was he'd inherited a way of thinking, almost a tradition of being someone looking around the place and saying, what buildings are available? Let's buy them. And so when I came into the work, there was a considerable campus. It's a lot of buildings and a lot of residential accommodation. And yeah, so I was here from 2013 as principal, and it immediately became obvious to me that I've got this incredible foundation. I mustn't sit still. I've got to keep making sure that what's been put in place gets furthered and things deepened. Faculty has been a key concern of mine, so I've spent a lot of time and given a lot of energy, a lot of prayer too, for people from South Africa and Africa to grow up in the faith and grow up in our understanding of them. We are a Reformed college, but that word means different things to different people. But I guess really what it means, we take the Bible very seriously.
Pretty serious.
We're evangelical.
Yeah.
We are Anglican in our foundations and formularies and all that stuff, but we see ourselves first and foremost as people who are gospel-driven, gospel-minded people. We want to teach the Bible without overdoing the confessional side of it. But we're evangelical Anglicans.
Evangelical Anglicans with a bit of a Reformed bent in there. I've really enjoyed being here this past week, and I have another week to go. We've got some excellent students, and they're coming from many parts of Africa. What would you say the mission of George Whitfield College is now? How would you say that?
The mission is to, the way we formulate it, these words also mean different things to different people. Our vision is the whole of Africa. It started out as really a training ground for one small Anglican denomination in South Africa, the Church of England in South Africa, it was called back then. It's now known as Reach South Africa. And the vision back then was to be a training ground for ministers in the denom, but it's grown. And for 20 plus years, we've really been looking out across Africa and drawing in students from many, many countries across the continent and bringing them here. And so our vision is to really produce preachers and teachers who deeply love the Lord Jesus and want to take his message and his word to every country in Africa. And the mission, where we've styled the mission, is that almost like the theory of action. What are you going to do to achieve your vision? So our mission is to train minds and to activate voices and to nurture hearts, all in the service of the gospel. And the minds, particularly in terms of a classical theological education, and that word also means different things to different people.
Yeah.
For us, it's not the classics, but it's really saying we want men and women to really do the hard work of reading the Bible, engaging with the Bible in its original languages. So we said to the
students, everybody does that.
No.
A lot of seminaries in the States have pared that back and saying we don't really need that. But I sat down with students yesterday. We read Greek together. They did a marvelous job. They really did. I was very much impressed with them.
It was a thing when I came in to after David in 2013, people thought, well, now's a good time to try and see if we can't dial back on the Hebrew and the Greek and all the rest of it. Let's just do, it's too much for the students, you know, that's what people were saying. And this is actually, it makes me smile when I think back on the story, that I went the other way, turned around and said, no, this is going to be even more Hebrew and Greek.
And I let's said double down on the Hebrew and Greek, right?
The students were only doing 1 year Hebrew, so I said, no, we actually need to do at least 2 years. And the third year's came, the entire group, because this was something new now, they were going to have to do this, and they didn't feel like it. And they said to me, this is just never going to work. This is we don't want to do this. And then I said to them, but you're the third years. The second years are looking at you. And the first years are also looking at you. If I can't do this unless you go with me. I need you to say, we're going to do this. It's tough, but we're going to do it because it's our investment for the gospel and for God's word and God's kingdom here in Africa. It's our contribution. And the most amazing thing was that they all actually just sat around. We were all sitting around a table. They actually just all said, okay, we'll do it. I managed somehow, and I think it was God's hand at that moment, just moving them to do it. And you know what? We saw a change not long afterwards, because the students who came back for other modules started to enlist and enroll for the Greek and the Hebrew of those modules. And someone from Malawi would do that. Somebody from Uganda would do that. Whereas wow. Previously, it was always the English. It was only going to be English they were going to enroll for. We actually saw a hunger and an appetite and a desire to engage with God's word in the original. So that was thrilling.
That's fantastic. I didn't realize until I got here that there are 1.2 billion people on the African continent. Now, that's three times the population of the United States of America.
Yeah.
What are the challenges that you find as you think about the whole continent? If your vision is for the whole continent, that's a big step, or a lot of small steps along the way. What are the challenges for you and for the board?
The challenges are many. Part of it is what we call growing our own wood. This is a big challenge. There are lots of people walking around everywhere, globally, who've got lots of degrees. People who are very clever and they've got high qualifications. We want that too in our midst. And just thinking about teachers and lecturers now, we want that. But we do want people who are very clear about the importance of Jesus and his singular importance in God's plan. There isn't any other way to heaven except by him. And his word is the only word we have. So we want people convinced of that. And a lot of people who got higher degrees seem to have actually lost a bit of that. They've lost that edge. And we feel, well, we admire your qualifications, but we need more. So this is a big challenge. It's hard to find people in a discipline like the Old Testament, to find people who really are standing their ground and saying, this word that I have, that I'm teaching, is God's word delivered. I've got it. And I'm going to stand on it. I'm going to teach it. I'm going to grapple with it. And not view the word through a whole bunch of theories.
Right, right.
That are doing the rounds. So that's a big challenge. So we grow our own wood at the moment. We're actually training up students who've come. They say, we believe in what we've studied here, and we want to go further. So Vuani is a good example of that.
So they go on to do advanced degrees, PhDs at places, and they come back here to teach. Or they teach in Africa somewhere.
Well, if we can do it, we'll have them study with a local university. We've got a research fellowship, which we call the Evangelical Research Fellowship, and they become part of that. So we watch over them. Turns out that you can't just send a student off to university or somewhere. They can become unstuck. So we try and keep them Christian and evangelical Christian in our fellowship while they engage with the university and the high-level studies. So Vuani is a good example. Vuani Sindo, he's come all the way from the bachelor's degree all the way through, and he's got a PhD and he's now on faculty. And Topelo is another one, Topelo Kumalo. So we're looking at these people coming up from within us. It's like our children growing up, and they saying, we want to stick around, we want to be part of what you guys are doing. And we say that's exactly what we want to hear.
I think, you know, in my class that I'm teaching, I bet there's probably three or four that could do that. I mean, they have the skill, they have the desire, and Africa's a big continent, right? So many different cultures, many different peoples. So, growing your own wood is really crucial for that, right? But one of the things I know, too, is you've got a great library here for a small place, but you've got big designs on a much more impressive structure.
Yeah, that's right. So given the fact that we've got so many people coming from across Africa to us, we want to give them the very best that can be provided. We've got a wonderful library. I think it's pretty much on par or more impressive than what many universities around the place have.
Oh, really?
So we're very pleased with it, and we've taken over various collections. We've got a collection from Leon Morris. And
really?
Others,
oh, wow.
Sitting in there.
Wow.
So there's also that. But I'm very keen to create a bridge between paper books, which will always be with us, and Christians will always promote the paper and the print version. But I want electronic too. So I want to create a facility that in some way melds those two those two things. So you've got books and you've got the digital side. And people in the New Look librarian era, where they themselves are bookish, but they're also very adept at finding their way, navigating their way, and encouraging students to find their way electronically. Africa, there are a lot of places still where things digital are in the infancy. I think most people have cell phones, but that doesn't necessarily mean they really know how to work with the digital side of things and the electronic side of things like we do, and certainly don't know how to engage in research using all the media. So there's a big need on that front for us. But I think what I also need to say is that we're very keen to stimulate and be part of theological education in Africa. We just can't do it alone. Africa, 1.2 billion, half of that number are people who say they're Christian. So there's an enormous growth in the Christian church.
It's an incredible amount.
Yeah, it's vast. And the churches, the stats are not great. The churches, which spring up all over the place, and we're grateful that that happens, but they're pastored by people who have had no training at all. And all kinds of wrong things get taught. And it's growing at such a rate, it's outpacing what we do.
What you can possibly do.
Yeah, and so we want to put our finger on ways in which, as you were saying earlier, the challenges, the board's challenge, but our identify ways in which we can maximize our reach and what we're doing in Africa. And we've got a number of our graduates already in theological colleges, and some are principals of theological colleges, and we try and find funding as well. We also funding conduit for some of them. We try and help them, but a whole lot more needs to be done. So we've got an online product we're considering bringing into being, and we're hard at work getting that designed and getting all of that sorted out. It needs to be accredited as well by the South African Education Authorities, and we want to launch that in 2024. And that's going to reach everywhere, but particularly Africa. We have our eye on getting that out into as many countries as possible.
We don't have a lot more time, but for those who would like to know, what degrees do you offer here for students?
We have a one-year certificate. So it's not a degree, but a certificate in South Africa and on the continent has a particular meaning. It means I've reached the end of first year. I've completed a first year level of education. And that means people can enroll in other places and say, I've got a first year certificate.
So they get to start there in the second year?
Yeah,
okay.
That's right.
Well.
And that's a good thing. And sometimes people also they say, I want to study for a year, but then I want to go on and be a teacher, I want to be whatever. And they can transfer some of those credits. So that's an important thing, and that's been happening. We have as our key focus the BTH, Bachelor of Theology. It's a three-year degree, and that's pretty intense. Mm-hmm. And the students really are put through their paces. We do a lot by way of student support. We're very concerned that they get through it. We encourage them. We've got tutors set up. We've got a whole lot of things at their disposal.
And I'll tell you, the tutors are excited about it. I've talked to a couple of them. They're excited about that responsibility.
Yeah, and it's a huge thing because people become discouraged. All of us who've been students will know that it can be. You get to a place sometimes where you just say, I can't do this anymore, and we want to help people who are in that. But we have a very good pass rate. It's pretty high, and we have very few people who just don't make it, and they will then get, they march with pride at, over the stage at the graduation,
right.
And rightly so. It's a massive accomplishment to have got that, and then they've got their 3-year BTH degree, and some of them will stay on to do an honours degree in South Africa.
Is that one more year
it's
or beyond?
Usually one more year.
Okay.
And that can be followed by a master's degree, which would usually take about 2 years. We're in the process of looking at a PhD.
And that's a big step.
It is another step, big step, yeah.
Well, you're doing an amazing job here, Mark Dixon. Thank you for spending some time with us to talk about George Whitfield College, and our prayers with you and our hopefully encouragement go with you. And we look forward to seeing what happens next.
Thank you, David.
If you learned too much today in the podcast, there is one guaranteed cure, and that is to share it with a friend. It'll take the pressure off the brain, okay? If you've never visited the amazing Lanier Theological Library, make plans to do it soon. We are growing. We're expanding. We've got a new presence over in Oxford, England. This is a place of solace and discovery. If you have comments for us or questions or just want to be in touch, contact us at podcast@lanierlibrary.org. And thanks to all those who make this podcast possible. You know who you are. Till next week, thanks for listening.
The way to God, the only way, is Jesus. I think about John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He is the bridge from this world into the next world. He is the truth. He is the life. And I hope that anyone listening to this knows him as the way, the truth, and the life.